Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but the day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
So Mike Gundy's an interesting guy, right? You got to play him in week two in Stillwater, Oklahoma at Boone Pickens Stadium. We had Coach Pat Jones on earlier. We're going to get into some of what he said about that game and the level of importance coming up. But before we do, for those that don't know, their star running back, Ollie Gordon, was arrested and charged with a DUI. Under 21, it's a little above the legal limit of .08. I think he blew a .08. Or 0.10 and then a 0.11.
Which is way above the under 21 limit.
Yes. I think it's
0.02 or
yeah, something like that. And
five times the legal limit.
And of course, at Big 12 Media Days, Gunny gets asked about that. We'll play some of his comments coming up for you here on the Morning Rush.
All right, brought to you by the Hickey & Hull Law Partners. If you find yourself in a situation like that, you need representation for a criminal matter or a civil matter or a family law matter, Kevin Hickey and Brad Hull and their team have over seven decades of combined experience to aggressively and properly represent you from your corner. You know, you need a group of attorneys and an office filled with attorneys that, know the system, know the people involved, and know how to make it work. The conversations and the relationships and knowing how things go in that particular district or county are paramount to you coming out as well as you can when you find yourself in a tough situation, whether it be criminal or, family law matters are, impact your life, more so than, maybe even a criminal matter can at some point, depending on the situation. Let Brad or Kevin or their team go to work for you. Four locations, Mena, Little Rock, Fort Smith, and Northwest Arkansas, so there's a location nearby to help you. One convenient number to set up your first visit, 479-434-2414, 479-434-2414, or go to kevinhickeylaw.com.
So here is his answer initially, and then we'll allow Coach to explain in just a bit, but first, here's his answer.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma, it's .08, and Ollie was .1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life, and I was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light because you make a lot of money to play football.
And you mentioned the important part. He's not 21 yet.
He's not 21, so there's not just, let's not be naive and act like, any one of us waited till we were 21 to have our first beer. But, the laws are different for those that are underage. because there's laws against drinking underage. Now, I mean, that's a different discussion. And Coach says he's not trying to justify what he did. I think he's trying to justify it a bit, but he's empathizing. He's looking at it from the player's perspective. And if it was our kid or someone near or dear to us involved in this, we might be talking the same way Coach is talking here. But he's not. He's on the football team that we're going to play in the second game of the year. And, we have a different perspective than what Mike Gundy's going to have for that very reason.
Yeah.
What if he was an Arkansas player and not an Oklahoma State player? Your viewpoint would be different.
Yeah, he's not suspended for, is it South Alabama? I can't remember who they play week one, but he will not be suspended for the Arkansas game, which I was jokingly advocating for earlier this week. I think the thing for me, one, I always do a beer an hour. If I have more than a beer an hour, I'm catching an Uber, I'm riding home. I will say I'm horrible. If someone else is driving, I don't care how much they've had to drink. I'm bad about that. But I will not get behind the wheel if I've been drinking.
Well, I just don't go out anymore.
Stay at the house. It's easier.
Or if I do, I don't drive. Period.
No, that's probably the proper way to do it. But here's what I take from Gundy's comments, and
I walk.
he can slice it any way he wants. But for me, all it is I think he tried to take a little heat off his star player and put it on himself.
That's what a coach does. I mean, now, that's not always the proper response, and this is a criminal matter. This is the legal matter. And there, I promise you, Mothers Against Drunk Driving probably don't approve of the way Mike Gundy handled this. But I do respect and appreciate he's trying to get his players back, and he's walking a fine line here. I do respect the fact of what he's trying to do, but I think you've got to, pick and choose your moments. And he deflected a little bit upon himself, which probably isn't a good look either.
So New Orleans texted in from B in Clarksville, the drinking age used to be 18, Scotland is 16, where you're trying to plan that trip. So it just depends on where you grow up, I guess, funny text from B.E. this morning.
I drank a beer with my dad before I was 21, but I wasn't behind the wheel of a car either. I mean, it's how you're raised and all that, but we're getting off the matter here. The matter's, the reality is he's not 21. I know in Arkansas, the legal limit is 0.02 if you're underage and, can charge with a DUI. And, I don't know I assume the Oklahoma law is similar. Listen, it's not the end of his life. It's not the end of the world. It's not going to ruin his football career. He's created a challenge for himself. And I think, I still like to see coaches, even if it was an Arkansas player, take a little harder stance and a harder line. I don't think you've got to kick someone off the team. And that's always the response of the hardliners is, he shouldn't be on the team anymore. Well, I think there's bigger there's a bigger life consequence to that maybe isn't, quite equitable to where the crime and the punishment don't quite fit in that situation.
Was it, what was the old late Bobby Bowden line? It's like, he said something like, why would I pinch off or bite off something to my face? I've heard
it. Off your nose to spite
my face.
Spite your face?
Yeah, that's the line I was thinking. I've heard that before, but there are certain coaches that, again, have a little more leeway with guys. Nick Saban being one of them. Think about some of the guys that Saints at Alabama would go through. And they always play. Now, they run in practice, and Coach kind of joked about, well, the punishment is always going to get the ball 50 times in that first game, which I'm all for. Run 50 times before he plays Arkansas, Coach. Don't give him any breaks prior to that. But
you think running these guys is really punishment?
I don't know. My dad
when
always
they're in the best shape of their lives.
My dad always used to do the hot sauce on a spoon thing when I said something potty mouth and I liked hot sauce. I never told him that until I got older and he never did anymore, which is funny. So it just varies from an individual. He did elaborate though a little bit and explain his actions a little more, not suspending his star running back.
We're in a time where you guys are essentially employees. You guys make lots of money to play this game. It's different than it was 5 years ago. And your punishment's going to be facing the facts. That's why we brought him here today. I said, you're not going into hiding. You're going to face the music. You're going to have to stand up and talk to people and answer questions. And hopefully, more than football, you can learn from the situation you've been in. Because if not, then we have a real issue. But he's going to play. And I'm going to do what we think
is best for Oklahoma State football, and I think it's best for Ollie to play. If there's any punishment, it's make him carry the ball 50 times in the first game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's punishment, but I like that part of his answer a lot better than I like the first one. What he's trying to, what I hear in there is, hey, Ollie needs to learn some humbleness and learn from this. I mean, it's a serious mistake. He talked about being lucky. I mean, the reality is no one got, to my knowledge on this story, no one got injured, hurt. You know, there's no other parties were involved in and had bodily or property damage or any of those things. That's the first thing that, you put yourself in a position to hurt yourself and others. But Coach hit to the heart of it there. Gundy talked about it. You're an employee now. You're making a lot of money. That's how you discipline players today. He's right. It's different than it was 5 years ago. He's 100% accurate. So if you want to get their attention, coaches should have the authority to take away some of their NIL money. And I know this, if I was supporting and financially stroking a check to that program, that's what I would like to see if this ball lands. And listen, it could land in Sam Pittman's lap tonight. So let's not act like Arkansas is immune from something like this ever happening.
Yeah.
How would you want Sam Pittman to handle it? Well, I like the forthrightness that Gundy comes at it. Listen, you guys are making money. What have they been, stumping for and fighting for years? Not necessarily this one player, but as a body. That's to me how you maybe discipline players moving forward in the future. Is that legal? Can you set a mechanism for it? I don't know all the details, but that's the path you should go down.
So Ollie is going to be a part. Ollie Gordon is going to be a part of a prolific Oklahoma State offense this upcoming season. We had Coach Pat Jones on yesterday, and he talked about that a little bit. He lives in Tulsa, does radio in Tulsa, has a relationship with that staff, gets to watch them practice. Here's what he said about Oklahoma State.
They've got an awful lot of kids that can run. They've got excellent team speed and quickness. He's got about everybody back. They got all their offensive linemen back. Now, they're not high-round draft choice guys, but they're tough veteran kids. Ollie Gordon in the back led the country in rushing. Now, if he can act right here a little bit, that helps somewhat. But he's a good back. Alan Bowman, the quarterback, they bounced around early in the season trying to find a quarterback, settle on Bowman. He's transferred two or three times, but he's an older kid. Their skill, their outside skill is pretty good with the receiver core and everything else.
They do have a record and a history of starting slow. But with everyone they return, I don't know how Arkansas, if Arkansas was to somehow win this game in Stillwater, Oklahoma, against what I expect to be a Big 12 championship representative, I don't know how you win this game without scoring like 40 points. I guess offenses take a little more time to develop over the course of a season. And I guess that's the perspective I could take. But I just don't know how you win without just going lights out on the offense.
And I was just thinking through again, re-listening to that part of our conversation with Pat Jones from yesterday. Oklahoma State's definitely in the conversation for Big 12 champion, right? Utah's going to be another one in there. I'm not sure, how.
Those are the main two.
Those are the main two I hear people talk about and people like Phil Steele talking about, right? So what comes along with being the Big 12 champion?
What comes along? A college football playoff appearance.
Guaranteed, right? Yeah. And maybe a home game, right? Maybe a bye.
Because if you win, you'll be
if you're one of the top four. Yeah, So I think about this game and I think about the motivation. And do you think beating an SEC team early in the year, even though it's not one of the, top half teams as we think of in Arkansas in the SEC, that's a big feather in the cap. So if you're Oklahoma State, you want to make the playoff. You want to plant your flag, maybe you be the one in the playoff and not Oklahoma. That'd be a big deal to them. They're not getting to play Oklahoma, so you play in Arkansas. This was prearranged before all of this realignment. But my point is, you talk about Oklahoma State starting slow. If I'm Gundy and I'm that staff, my message in August is, listen, this is, and they may have already delivered this message, huge opportunity to take a giant step forward in the rankings and the polls and put ourselves in a position at the end of the year to be a Big 12 champion and probably get a bye perhaps through that first round of the college football playoff. This will be a big deal in that moment because it will affect the rankings. And as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the four highest ranked conference champions that get that, because there's obviously going to be someone with a seat at the table that doesn't get that bye.
Mm-hmm.
So as a conference champion. So
it'll be the Big 12 because Pac 12 is.
Right. So I guess, yeah, that's right. So the math will work out on that. But point is, you won't be one or you won't be four. You won't be two or you won't be three. A win over Arkansas would be a big deal, I think, on your resume if you're a Big 12 champion. And that would be my sell. Whether that's true or not, that'd be my line of thinking to that team is, hey, this is a huge game and could really go a long ways to hosting, or not hosting, to being the champion and getting that bye.
Gundy just has to worry about Ollie Gordon not transferring to Georgia. Like, seemingly every other player with the Bulldogs has something issue off the field when it comes to a vehicle of some sort. Like, Carson Beck got that Maserati or whatever it was, and I wonder if there will be a vehicle incident in Athens or Atlanta when it comes to, I mean, just to be blunt, if I was given an insanely fast vehicle at 18 to 22 years old, I'd be an idiot too.
They're not ready for it.
No.
Just because you're giving them a lot of money and the responsibility being a big-time college football player doesn't mean they're mature enough to handle
it. And on the subject of vehicles, before we move on, Taylen Green was just gifted a vehicle from an auto dealership through Arkansas Edge, and I've seen people like mad that this is being showcased. And I heard Derek and Zach talking about it. I'm going to guess, I don't have the contract in front of me, but I'm going to guess that part of the stipulation for him getting that vehicle was that he had to post about it. And people are like mad he's doing it and saying it's like it's a fine balance because as a sponsor or as a business owner, you want that kid publicizing what your product is. But at the same time, you don't want there to be a perception that kid is living better off, which a lot of them are.
All of them are than
we are. So I people are ripping Taylen yesterday, and I'm hearing Derek and Zach talk about it. And I'm just like, what do you want the kid to do?
Yeah.
Like,
but that's part of the problem. You know, KJ Jefferson, you know, strolling into the stadium in his Gucci shoes and, you know, publicized and seen it. You know, what was it, a Corvette or whatever he had, you know, a flashy sports car. You're right. You want these things and these toys, and you want sponsors and people to give you either in-kind donation or cash. These are the things that happen. But,
yeah.
You know, you can't flash it around because that you, when you're going to the common guy like me or you or all of our friends listening this morning that, hey, give us $50 a month. You want me to give you $50 a month so they can drive a sports car? I don't know how to answer the question from the university side and the NIL Edge side, but, you know, okay, we'll give you the $50. I don't want to know. I don't want it shoved in my face what these guys are using the money for because it, to me, feels irresponsible.
Here's what I would say is the great equalizer, and it's just like it is in recruiting. It's winning. Like Marvin Harrison was wearing this, I don't know if it's $100,000, $50,000, whatever, watch while he was playing games or practicing or whatever. Wow. It's the best wide receiver in college football. And there's
his financial background's a little different than most.
Yeah, but the reason I'm bringing that up is because their Ohio State fans weren't mad at him because he was like, I think he won the Blitnikoff best wide receiver in college football last year. You're not frustrated by it. In that, and for like the basketball program, for example.
See, in his case, I just say, well, his dad bought it for him.
Yeah.
I would, in his case, I think that's, I justify it in my mind, whether it's true or not, a little different.
But another example would be like John L. Davis coming over from FAU. There are reports out there, don't know if they're true or not, that to get him here, it exceeded $1 million. And no one is going to, let's say John L. posts something that he bought or something on social media that he did, and it's pretty excessive, and the majority of us, because we're not in that salary cap, can afford it to do it, buy it, or whatever.
That, right?
Let's
not say he's done something that he hadn't done.
But what I'm saying is that he just came to mind because I feel like that was the fact, that was the figure that was reported when him.
I think you're right on that part.
If the reason I bring him up is, let's say Arkansas has a ton of success, they make it to a Final Four or something, he posts something crazy or whatever. I don't think Arkansas fans will care because of the success that accompanied it. People only seem to care when there's failure, you feel like you're not getting what you paid for when it comes to NIL.
You're
That's
right.
my understanding.
But John L. hasn't posted anything.
No. Okay. But he's just the basketball player that I thought about. And Taylen.
You're like, you know, to borrow the phrase that, you know, Derek Ruskin turns so off, winning is the great cologne, the great deodorant that covers up the nasty stench that sometimes comes along with college athletics, particularly in today's time. So, you know, winning covers up a lot of what we right now just want to hold our nose and look at. Because it's exactly what you said. You're asking me, common fan, sitting in section 503, because I can't afford to sit in section 103, to give $50 a month?
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing them drive around in sports cars? I mean, this is not just an Arkansas issue, but it's magnified when you're not winning at a level you feel like, because that's the only return on investment we get. I put $50 or $100 a month or whatever in. This isn't a mutual fund. I'm not going to get a dividend check. The only dividend I'm ever going to get is the pleasure of watching my team win. That's the only dividend.
And I mean, you and me right now would both invest $50 if it meant that Arkansas football would win 9 games this year a month. I would pay $50. It's true.
To win but what?
Nine games.
No, nine. I thought you said night games.
So if they won 9.
I would like to win some night games because you're playing LSU at night, but 9 games. I got you.
You said, Ty, you got to
invest. If you told me,
$600 over the course of a year, Arkansas wins 9. All right, we're I signed. But
dude, if they said 100 a month and you'd win 9, we'd do it. You know,
like that.
Even if it wasn't guaranteed.
I'd expense it.
Of course, because that's just exactly how life works. But, hey, there's a lot of us listening this morning that we would find $100 a month in the budget if there was a high probability of winning 9 games. But that's not reality. But the reality is that's the only dividend you're ever going to get when it comes to any of these ways they're trying to fund all this. That's why revenue sharing in the new model, and listening to Sankey next week speak on this, I presume, and his kind of State of the Union address for the SEC is really piqued my interest next week at SEC Media Days. Hey, let me quickly tell you about Oaklawn Sports. It's Arkansas's favorite sports betting app. Sign up today and qualify for second chance betting on your very first bet. So what you do is you create your account. You make your deposit, which is easy now with debit and credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, Venmo, ACH. If you're at Oaklawn in Hot Springs, cash in or out of your account is easy on site. You create the account, you make the deposit, like I just said, make your very first bet of at least $10 up to $250. And if that bet doesn't pan out for you, they'll give you a second chance bet of equal value up to $250. Arkansas's best sports betting app. Bet with a brand new trust. Bet with Oaklawn Sports.
Let's talk to JR on the hotline. You want to jump in, 877-377-6963. JR, what's going on this morning, man?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. Hey, you know what? What really leaves a bad taste in fans across the board in college athletics, college sports, is the fact that these kids are not contractually held to any of this NIL money. I mean, they don't even have to take a step out on the court or the field to get it. I mean, and it's insulting that these universities expect people to donate money to something that does not guarantee anybody staying. I mean, that's the whole, you know, it'd be different if they had a contractual agreement. Okay, you got a year, 2 years, whatever, what might be the case, but there's nothing there to solidify anything whenever you donate, you know, to a particular, you know, whichever sport you're going to donate to. So
this isn't a mutual fund. You know? It's not a mutual fund. This is charity. You know.
Just think about it. If you break it down, I mean, it's crazy that you would donate to something where there's no guarantee that kid even won't step foot on the field. I mean, that's crazy to me.
Thanks, JR. You know, you may give money to the Salvation Army, and you hope that money is always well spent, but. Or some other donate, but that's why when you give money to a charity, and I'm not saying the Edge Fund's a charity necessarily, but you know, sometimes you read about different organizations that don't spend your money the way you thought it was going to be spent once you donate. That's why you got to do your homework and do your research.
I was going to say, there's a website.
want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our 6 locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Welcome you back into hour number 2 of the Morning Rush. We've got a treat for you. A legend joins us momentarily. Oliver Miller, former Razorback, SEC legend. And as of August, he's going to be officially inducted to the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame. We'll talk to him coming up in just a bit.
One of my favorite players growing up as a kid was the Big O, Oliver Miller.
Number 25, Oliver Miller.
A short rebound. And that one is not short. Oliver Miller. And Lindsey Howell reaching in for a steal. And the Big O.
Thank goodness for Oliver Miller. Without him, we would be packing our bags for a long summer vacation.
He is playing fantastic. He's the reason we won this series.
I got booed on draft night, so I wanted to make sure I turned the boos into cheers. And I went out there and I busted my butt. And you know, I think I gained a little after Mother's Day.
Todd Porter rolling around with the Big O.
Hey, this is Oliver Miller, former Arkansas Razorback, the Big O. You're listening to the Morning Rush. Woo! Big Suey, baby.
You know, it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday on the Morning Rush, but nothing to beef about with the guy that we're getting a chance to talk to now. It's Oliver Miller, the Big O, former Razorback, the all-time leader in Arkansas basketball and field goal percentage, top 10 in a bunch of other categories, played in the NBA in nearly a decade. Well, you're in Phoenix right now, man. You got your family down there where you made an impact initially as a rookie in the National Basketball Association, playing a little golf, fishing a little bit.
I'm doing it all. Right now, it's too hot to golf and fish, but once it cools down and I get my energy back, I'm going to be back out there.
What's the temperature like, Oliver, from living in Fort Worth to Fayetteville? And obviously, you played a little bit in Phoenix, but now how hot does it get in Phoenix, Arizona?
Well, it's just the difference is the dry heat compared to humidity. You know, back in the South, in Arkansas and Texas, you got to take a shower at least every 15 minutes because you're going to go outside, come back inside real sticky and sweaty. I can deal with the dry heat a lot better than humidity.
Talking with Arkansas legend Oliver Miller, and now as of beginning of August, going to be a Southwest Conference Hall of Fame official member. Oliver, my only question is, man, why'd it take this long?
And your guess is as good as mine. I just want to, probably it's all God's timing. Whenever he's ready to do things, he does things in his way. But I'm just honored and privileged to be able to finally be inducted, even though the conference has been shut down for over, 30 years now? I'm honored.
Oliver, you mentioned the conference no longer existing. You were a part of a group that dominated at the tail end of the conference. You, Todd, Lee, and others. And then you guys just kind of sent a welcome message across the bow to not just Kentucky, but the rest of the SEC. What was that transition like for you guys 30-some-odd years ago?
It was a little bit tough transition, traveling to different environments, going to different cities to what we used to 3 years in a row of playing against, you know, different talent. You know, like Coach always said, we all men, we put our pants on the same way. So just go out and do the things that we need to do and what we know we're capable of doing. And that's how we just approach the game.
Oliver's going to be officially inducted to the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame coming up this August. You mentioned Coach there. I know that anytime we have a former Nolan Richardson player on, we got to ask about Coach. What do you remember about what led you to play in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Being from Texas, I really didn't want to stay in Texas because I knew that every weekend or every opportunity I have a chance to get home, I'd be at home. So I had my two last visits was Oklahoma once they got beat by Kansas in the national championship game. And right after I left from Oklahoma, went straight to Arkansas. But the biggest difference was, you know, Arkansas made me feel at home right away. Even though it was during spring break, not too many students was on campus, but students that were there and the late Ron Heary, who was my host, and the late Larry Marks, they showed me around, and the few students that were there, they made me feel like I was already a part of the Razorbacks. Being that, you know, being in SWC, that we would always be coming back to Texas to play, would give my mom and other family members the opportunity to always catch my game. So that was an easy decision for me. So that's why I chose Arkansas.
So you mentioned the aspect of your mom being able to watch a lot of your games being in Texas. With Texas and Oklahoma entering the league, A&M already being a part of it, is it going to be easier, in your opinion, for John Calipari to recruit Texas and Oklahoma kids like, say, it was when Nolan was recruiting you?
It's hard to say these days the way they pair him with the NIL rules. So you never know. Texas is being close to Arkansas, so maybe easy, you know, the way Coach Cal recruits. Hopefully he can get the right athletes in there. And I know he's known for the one-and-done players, but hopefully he can get a couple of guys that said they will be there for at least 2 or 3 years and get us back to being in the top tens and going deep in the NCAA tournament and hopefully bring another national championship. You know, he has a resume of doing things like that. And I just hope that, you know, we just get some kids that will stay at least a couple of years. And the best thing about these things now, we don't have to worry about none of our records being broken because kids will never stand long enough to break them.
I mean, you got that record again, all-time field goal percentage leader at Arkansas. You had a feathery touch. You were a great passer. You had a bunch of, again, top 10 categories. You mentioned Cal there, though, Oliver. I wonder your impressions. What do you think about Coach?
You know, Coach is a good coach, so, you know, it's yet to be seen, and seems like everybody's accepting him and ready for the season and see what he brings. So I just hope that everything goes smooth and, you know, we just do what we need to do.
You mentioned some of the records may be staying where they're at because guys are moving on and stuff. I think about you. I think about your teammate Lee Mayberry and Todd Day, the all-time leading scorer. I think about the guys prior to you, like Ron Brewer. We just had Sidney Moncrief on about a week ago. Marvin Delph, the guys that came after you, of course, Scotty and Corliss. Oliver, you're an Arkansas basketball legend. What could the university and the athletics department do better about incorporating and involving you guys in future years?
What I really want to see right now is Todd hanging up in the Raptors. That's long overdue. You know, he's an all-time leading scorer, and I don't think anybody's going to break that because they're not going to stick around. We got the all-time winning record with 4 years, and I don't think anybody's going to beat those records. So I just hope that, you know, it's just long overdue. I just want to see Todd number and Todd name hanging up in the Raptor with Sidney Moncrief and Corliss. That's my main. I just want to see that hopefully very soon.
You're not the only one, man. I know we've had listeners definitely petition and push for that. When it comes to Arkansas basketball and really recognizing a legend, it's cool for you to, the first thing you mentioned is trying to help out a teammate because I know people have spoken so highly of you, not just at the college level, but the NBA levels. That's pretty cool. You mentioned Todd. I've referenced a few other guys you played with. You were part of a draft class in 92 that had four guys drafted, which is the most ever for Arkansas. Overall, your time in the NBA and and with the Razorbacks, Oliver. Did you have a favorite teammate?
I played with a lot of great guys. I keep in touch with them with my Toronto days. I keep in touch with Walt Williams, who we played against my freshman year against Maryland. I still keep in touch with Marcus Camby. A lot of these guys, you know, I just keep in touch with on and off. Damon Stoudemire, who's my rookie. But, you know, a lot of these guys are too busy right now to even think about small guys like me. But try to keep in touch and be good friends with most of the guys I play with. But mainly I just keep in touch with Todd and Lee. I know those are my brothers for life. Me and Todd, we always talk on and off a few times a month, and me and Lee talk sometimes on and off. But other than that, you know, those are my brothers. The Arkansas brothers are my brothers for life, mainly the Arkansas teammates.
We're talking again with a legend, Oliver Miller, better known to some as Big O. What's the origin of that nickname, man?
Well, when I was in high school, it started out as, you know, they started calling me Big O, but once I got to Arkansas, it just took over. Of course, of my size and my name began with Oliver, and my name started with O, and it just took off and just accepted it. I feel like Oliver was a little nerdy name anyway, so I prefer being called O or Big O anyway, so I just accepted and loved it. I just always felt like, you know, because kids used to make fun of Oliver North or Oliver Twist, and I'm like, ugh. So I just started just after being called Big O or O.
My middle name's Franklin. I can understand where you're coming from a, like a nerdy standpoint. I always thought about the Franklin cartoon TV show of the turtle. I was never a big fan of my middle name. There are so many memories. I mean, we could talk about all the success you guys had in the Southwest Conference, Reunion Arena. People listening to you right now are just, they're going back 30 years, which is awesome. I think about a play you had on Shaquille O'Neal, one of the greatest centers of all time. You blocked him, guys go to OT, you beat Dale Brown and company. What do you remember about that game and just how it played out?
Well, it was real challenging because, you know, Shaquille O'Neal and one of the all-time centers that I played against, and also Dale Brown, they wanted to accept us coming over and winning the conference. So we had to go through those guys, and it was a real tough challenge. If you know, just look back through my career, I've always accepted the challenges. When I had to go against Arizona, they had 3 7-footers, and had to go against UNLV, and had to go against the Dukes, and, you know, all those guys. I just always accepted the challenges because that's just the mentality coach put in us. Never back down for nobody and always put your best foot forward and play your game. And, you know, I stuck with the game plan and have faith in what coach wanted us to do, have faith in my teammates. And, you know, I knew and it was going to be a tough challenge, but I always stepped up to the challenge, and I loved it.
And you had a challenge your rookie year, man. You guys are down 0-2. It's not looking good. Yeah. Coach Westfall says, Oliver, you're up, man. I'm going to start playing you more. You guys get out of that hole against the Lakers, a miraculous run of the finals, you, Charles, and company, go up against the greatest basketball player of all time. Take him to 6 games. Take us through that season, 93, your initial year, and then what it was like to go up against Michael Jeffrey Jordan on the biggest stage of your career.
Well, coming from a winning program, number one seed in the whole league that year, I didn't want to go down like that. I remember a preseason game, and I don't know if it was Detroit or whoever we played. I made a comment, and I was like, I could see a parade in the future. And they was like, hold on, rookie. We got a long season to go. Once we faced the Lakers and we down 0-2, and, you know, they always say, stay ready. You never know when your name is called. And Paul had faith in me, and I was just a fighter. I didn't want to go down like that. And I just did everything I could to help the team get out of 0-2 and to get back to where we need to get to. And, you know, we made it to the finals, even though we lost against the best player, the GOAT. It was just real. It was a real experience. I really enjoyed my rookie season because never expected. I always watched the finals and watched NBA, and to be able to experience it, and, you know, they had all the champagne T-shirts and hats outside our locker room, and to see that and experience it, it was just real. It was just real experience for my young. For the beginning of my career, and I appreciate it. And next year we went to Western Conference Finals. We didn't make it out, but you know, I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah, going against Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon is quite a task. Not that facing Michael the year before wasn't, especially your position. That's not the easy.
Yeah, you know, I rank him as the number one center of all time, and then I go Shaq because, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon was a 7-foot player, and he was a three-man and a five-man body. He was so quick and agile, and he had so many great moves. And, you know, anybody that played against him would tell you that, you know, they rank him as one of the top centers of all time.
The Dream Champion.
And, you know, I learned a lot, you know, in my career because I played against a lot of the top 50 players that made the top 50. You know, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, all those guys, I learned a lot playing against them. And, you know, and playing with Charles Barkley my rookie season, you know, I looked up to him as he was my idol because, you know, he was going through pretty much the same thing I was going through. He was overweight and he did a lot of things that a lot of people, you know, couldn't do.
You got any good Charles Barkley stories? We're talking with Oliver Miller, by the way, Arkansas legend.
You can't discuss those on over the interview, but you know he was when he was on, he was on. And I can remember my second year, we playing against Golden State, and Don Nelson didn't want to double team, and he had like 30 points in the first half, and I'm like, you know, are you serious? Because it was even hard to double team him and stop him because, you know, he just had the moves and he's speedy and he put that big butt to use and did what he had to do.
He was the round mound of rebound, man. Joe Klein.
Yeah, that he was.
He's a teammate of yours, teammate of Joe Klein. A couple of Razorback connections that love them some Charles Barkley. Something that you guys had in common and what you're having to go through with the weight struggles. Oliver, I know for you, and I believe this is the first time you've ever shared publicly what you've had to go through recently. For our audience, again, Oliver mentioned he's in Phoenix. He's got family, kids, grandkids in the area. You've also been battling something of your own. Kind of share with what you've been having to go through lately.
Well, back in April, I was diagnosed with stage 3 stomach cancer. May 7th, I started my chemo treatment, and it was a really aggressive treatment I had to go through. And by the grace of God, July 1st, my last chemo treatment, it worked. So, you know, this year has been a double accomplishment for me to get through this illness and to get inducted to the Southwest Conference. So, now, that'd be part of my speech when I get there, to know that, hey, I've overcome and I'm beating cancer. And, you know, I don't wish this upon nobody, chemo, cancer, and no illness, because it's rough and it could take a big toll on your life. But when you have a good support system and you have strong faith and belief in God, you know, all things are possible. And, you know, I've overcome it. So right now, it's been a week that I've taken my last chemo treatment, and I'm doing pretty good. And, you know, of course I lost weight, I lost hair, but, you know, I still look good, a little bald, but I'll be all right. I'm gonna try my best to, you know, put some more weight on. I'm down to 225 right now.
Wow.
My lowest I've been since high school. So, I'm going to try to put on about 30, 40 more pounds and just move on from there and just, you know, use my life as a testimony, because a lot of people don't get through it. But, you know, like I said, by the grace of God and him keeping his healing hand over me, has brought me through.
Can't think of a better way to end it than right there. Oliver Miller, SEC legend, Arkansas Razorback for life, Southwest Conference Hall of Famer, and as you just heard, a cancer survivor. Oliver, thank you so much for joining us this morning, man.
I appreciate you for having me and allowing me to share my story.
Got to be honest, of all the things that I expected to hear from the Big O, the last portion of our conversation, that kind of took me off guard a little bit. Luckily, as you just heard, he beat it as of July 1st. Big news for him, big news for his family, and probably the biggest portion of the interview, Tommy.
Well, and I remember reading that news when it came out, I don't know, 6 months ago or whenever that news is. And again, one of my heroes when I was a kid was the Big O. Loved his facial expressions during games. So, I mean, it'd be a sad day if things weren't working out. I'm so happy to hear him explain how the treatments have went and how well it's went, because what a great personality. What a great, and I still remember that young face playing LSU back in the day, and that transition out of Barnhill. And I remember going to an Arkansas Bethune-Cookman game, and I didn't get it, but he was coming off the floor through one of those tunnels, and we were just hoping, you know, as a kid, to, you know, maybe get a high five or something. That's before you knew what a fist bump really was. And he threw some sweatbands and stuff off, and we like, you know, those are the things that as a kid you remember. And he just interacted well with the fans, and you know, one of my all time favorites, and it was a great era as well for Arkansas basketball.
So there was a listener who had a patient that was the biggest Oliver Miller fan possible, and she actually, Caitlin, just sent me this video of Oliver talking to one of her patients that was going through some stuff.
Hey Johnny, what's up? This is Big O, 40 Minutes of Hell. You remember me? Hey, I heard you was a super fan. Just wanted to give you a shout out, tell you how much we appreciate you. We love you. You're in our prayers. Keep it up, brother. We love you. Go Hawks.
So this is a guy that obviously has a deep, deep love for Razorback Nation, and happy to hear the best news. As BE states on the hotline, the biggest rebound of his life, and awesome to hear the positive news when it comes to his cancer stuff.
All right, if you didn't catch that entire interview, you can find it on the Hit That Line Now app or at our website, hitthatline.com. We'll have that up for you, and you can enjoy our conversation, Ty's conversation, with the Big O, Oliver Miller, who's going into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
What's Your Beef Wednesday coming up in just a bit. Your calls and texts are welcome here on the hotline at 877-377-6963.
All right, Morning Rush Daily Question. Just talked to the Big O, Oliver Miller. What was your favorite memory of that era? I just mentioned going to that Bethune-Cookman game, and JT in Hot Springs said he was there at that game. I best remember that it also snowed a bunch during that game, and getting down the old 71 was a challenge. My favorite memory, and again, this all goes back to before you were even born, Ty, but is Arkansas getting to that Final Four. They played Duke. Arkansas was a young group of freshmen, but that'd probably be one of my favorite memories. I know that game didn't turn out, but that was my first understanding of a Final Four, its importance. I wasn't old enough to remember the original triplets and what they accomplished in the late 70s. I wasn't born till the tail end of 75. So that was, you know, not only did we realize that was the beginning of something really special to happen over a 5 or 6 year period, but those guys were the real table setters for the dominance of the Arkansas program in the 90s. And Big O was, again, a bigger than life personality, one of my favorites, but just truly being old enough at that point, 14, 15 years old, to understand the importance of that Final Four was big for me. That's my favorite. Even though the game didn't go your way, I understood at that point what a Final Four really meant to our program.
It's the altitude probably didn't help your up and down style at Denver at the time.
Maybe.
Christian Lehner, young buck. You had Bobby Hurley, young buck. A couple of the outstanding Duke players that were on that team. Like you said, I was not actually alive during that time. But I don't know how you look past the, and this also was a loss, the UNLV Super Bowl Sunday game. And
yep,
I think it's 91. I think it's 91. Maybe it's 92, but I think it's 91. Because everyone that, first off, 100,000 people were there that day.
And from the, you just ask around, yeah.
You start adding up the number of people you talk to.
I was not there that day. I was in church.
Early
morning game on that Sunday.
That's probably the biggest game and at home in that decade, or not maybe that decade, but close to it. But for me, it's like when we hear about Dallas, Texas, it's the biggest metropolitan area of Razorback fans outside this state. And I hear about Reunion Arena, and I hear from my dad, who is a Baylor alum. I hear from my uncle. I hear from so many others how Razorback crazy that place was, which, again, I'm an advocate for playing different conference themes in Dallas because of Arkansas's foothold in Dallas, Texas. And I would say just the dominance. I mean, you think about how Arkansas closed out the Southwest Conference with, I believe, 3 straight regular season and championship titles. So they just, I mean, they ran through that thing at the tail end. And Oliver was as crucial a piece to that as any. So Reunion Arena and what you did in that place would probably be a memory that I think Arkansas fans, whether you were there or not, could definitely talk about.
As a young teenager, right there around that 12, 13, 14 range, me and mom and dad, my brother drove to Dallas without tickets, just hoping to find a ticket for a game or two to get in. Never could find a ticket for an Arkansas game.
Wow.
And I think I got to go inside Reunion Arena once because I was a Baylor fan or Texas Tech fan, had some tickets. I got to go in and watch a game, but it wasn't an Arkansas game. And we watched from some sports bars and stuff like that, from down there. But it was disappointing that we didn't get to go. And I remember Arkansas playing Texas, and we were listening on the radio driving back because we couldn't get in. And I think it was the championship game or the semifinal. I don't remember that detail, but I remember listening to Mike Nell's call of that game as we were driving home and had finally gotten back into radio range.
Josh texted in saying, as a kid, we didn't miss a Southwest Conference game. The Big O, Lee, and Todd were bigger than life back then. So plenty of text on the memories that Big O, Oliver Miller, was associated with.
Great to hear from him this morning. And again, if you missed that conversation, you can catch it in our podcast or online at hitthatline.com or the Hit That Line Now app. All right, that's your Morning Rush Daily Questions, brought to you by The Fence Man. When it comes time for new gates or some fences at your home, trust the people I trusted at my home, The Fence Man. They can easily build you a custom fence if you're looking for a custom ornamental iron installation, powered automatic gates, or, hey, I just need a chain link fence around my backyard. I need a 6-foot wood privacy fence. I need, maybe you want vinyl fencing around an area. Maybe you need an enclosure around
your dumpster or trash area at work. Some neighborhoods are requiring you to build fencing around where you keep your trash cans. They can help you with all of those kind of matters. 782-3936, they do large industrial and commercial jobs as well. So even the bigger jobs are well within scope for the fence man. 782-3936, the fence man, he ain't afraid of no work.
What's Your Beef Wednesday on the Morning Rush is brought to you by Richards Country Meat Market in Fayetteville. No other meat market is in the same league when it comes to the selection, quality, and value you get from Richards.
Oh, God, it's so good. So good and tasty.
One block east of College and Rolling Hills Drive at 3042 North Market Avenue. Online at richardscountrymeatmarket.com.
So we got plenty of texts, and we'll get back to some of these beefs in momentarily. But I want to share mine. I didn't get to it in the first hour. I'm talking about Duke losing to them in the Final Four there in 1990 in Denver. This Cooper Flagg kid, who might be a great kid. I have no idea. Number one player coming out of high school, outstandings, participating against Team USA right now. But my beef is I already don't like him. Again, I don't know anything about him. It was kind of like Kyle Filipowski, who Arkansas beat in Bud Walton Arena this past season. It was great. I know some things have come out about his past recently, but it's just the Duke mold. It's like the talented white kid that seemingly on paper has everything. I have no idea this kid's background at all. But my initial thoughts is, he's being talked about as a player that can already play in the NBA now.
Ties
he's stuck
with
up.
The broad brush.
And I fully disclose that I'm doing that. But he just, anytime I see a highlight of him, it just ticks me off. Now, if he was a Razorback, he'd be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But because he's a Duke Blue Devil playing in Durham, North Carolina, for now John Shire instead of Coach K, he just rubs me the wrong way. Anytime I see
you're
anything,
you're stereotyping.
Very much
you're
so.
You're profiling.
Very much so. Again, very
unfair.
Very open about that. But it's Cooper Flagg is one of my beefs here this morning, as well as you heard Oliver, if you missed the conversation with Oliver, he talked about how he got maybe messed with a little bit for having a name Oliver growing up. That's why he liked the Big O better. My beef is also sharing the fact that my middle name is Franklin, which Jay in Cape Springs is making fun of. That's my, I guess, mom's main name, but I don't like it as my middle name. I hated when people knew that growing up, but now it's on the air, and now everyone knows it.
See, I thought the F stood for something else, but anyway, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. So,
Franklin's better than Francis, you know.
I think Francis sounds more
Tyson,
sounds more
Francis, Richardson. Yeah.
Yeah, Tyson, Francis, and it's just Ty,
our
actually.
Student council.
On the, be a rep if we wanted to do it. But yes, that is, those are a few of my beefs. Let's see. You got a couple other beefs. Smack Daddy says, my beef is my wife buys $200 worth of groceries but never wants to cook dinner.
Boy, I know
that
pain.
I'm glad she never listens to the show.
Never wants to cook, always go out to dinner. Yeah.
Jamie,
let's get some Grubhub, yeah.
Jamie May, is his beef is that he's not coming to play 90 holes of golf with me the next couple days. Let's see, there's a few others. If you want to text or call those in.
90 holes might be too much in 3 days, even for me.
Yeah, it's going to be, I got to stretch, and I got to hydrate. There's not going to be any alcohol consumed on the golf course.
I'd love to know your stretching routine.
Just water. You grab the driver, and you stretch her out a little bit. Let's see, there's a few other pieces we'll get to. What is your beef? I shared my just completely out there beef about Cooper Flagg, even though I know nothing about the kid outside. He's the number one player, and he's playing at Duke.
My beef is you painting with a broad brush here this morning. It's painting into a corner every Duke kid that ever came across.
They're all terrible.
Across the screen.
They're all terrible.
We'll get some of mine coming up.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Sam's been around. He's seen a lot of things come and go. When you're trying to make a break year like Sam apparently is now, just put your head down and pour. Don't let that eat you up. Put your head down and go. See what happens. That's the only choice. And put your head down and pour. Sam's an offensive line coach by trade. That's kind of, they're grinders. Just grind. Just grind it out and see what will happen.
Coach,
there's so many things you can't control. Kid gets hurt. You turn the ball over at the wrong time. Some kind of thing like that, you can't control that. But you just still put your head down and grind.
50 days out from Arkansas football, and I'm ready to hear Big Mike after football games again. He is about as entertaining as it gets on Hog Reaction post-win, post-loss. Because, as you can probably tell from that piece of audio, there might be a beverage or two consumed, even if it was early on in the morning. We got Hour 3 coming at you here on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Got a few things like Coach Pat Jones that you heard at the top of our open. Want to get to some of the recruiting stuff that he's had yesterday. And with Nick Saban out of the SEC, who is now the biggest game on each opponent's schedule? Is it Alabama still? Is it Georgia? Is it Texas? Quinn Ewers, no surprise, thinks it's Texas. So we'll get into some of that coming up here in Hour number 3. Before we do, though, we were talking with our buddy Larry Rath of Rath Auto Resources yesterday, and he's taking me through, and David's taking me through, both of their Mighty Key Car Care Centers. There are guys that have worked at both locations, Larry for 20-plus years, and David, I guess they're going on year 7 now. It's really cool. It's like a step back in time almost. They made it kind of like one of those old-school things at both of the Mighty Key Car Care Centers. So when you think about Road Ready Certified and ready to roll with Rath at both locations, you want a pre-owned vehicle that will not break down on you when you're on a trip or when you get off lot. So they make sure that, again, they're hand-picked vehicles, that they fix everything before they go through, and they, again, have warranties on them, which is not typical of pre-owned vehicles in the car buying industry. New tires, front-end work, the best used car a money can buy. Both at Rath Auto Resources in Fort Smith and then Rath Mitsubishi in Springdale. If you stop by and see David, please ask him to do the Hank Hill voice. Might have to buy a car, but I think he'll do it after that. All right, let's get to what Coach said first. So I think everyone's disappointed about losing a couple in-state kids. You know, the staff's disappointed. And I say lose. I'm using that loosely here. They have not lost them just yet. They have committed. And that's what kind of Coach Pat Jones talked about yesterday.
Well, it's really always been that way. You got a commitment out of the kid for Parkview, right, to safety? I'm not big into commitments until they actually sign. You know how that is. But, you know, that's Keith Jackson School. This didn't just start up now. I can remember Texas got, you know, Graylin Wyatt 100 years ago down there, the running back from Texarkana. They dabbled around up here all off and on. Now, they'll be up here a little bit more, I would imagine. But I don't know wholesale. How many kids are going to be in Arkansas can really play every year? 5 or 6? But, you know, you're not dealing with a whole lot of population density. You know, with what's going on in northwest Arkansas, that's changed a little bit. I mean, they even have a football team there. Central Parkview's carrying on here a little bit, but the demise of Little Rock Public Schools doesn't help the University of Arkansas as far as, you know, recruiting was used to. Back in the day, you could figure there are going to be 4 or 5 kids out of greater Little Rock that are, in varying degrees, pretty good football players every year. I don't know what that is now.
You heard that there. Here's where I would have a beef if I was an Arkansas football fan, and I think that the staff probably have a beef. You've actually got a Little Rock school that's holding its own now in recruiting in Little Rock Parkview, where that program has been dormant for a number of different years. And I know there's been a Landon Rogers, there's been an Aaron Outley, but Unfortunately, both those guys didn't initially pan out in Arkansas, but you got what?
Haven't had impact players.
Yes. Yeah. You've got five or six guys that have several D1 offers, Omarion Robinson being the best of the bunch, who is, again, as you heard, committed to Oklahoma. I think a fair beef, if you're an Arkansas fan, is, again, Little Rock has not been kind to you for the most part as your state capital when it comes to high school football recruiting. Now you have several guys at one school that look like they can play D1 football, and you only got, I guess, one of them committed thus far.
But I think when you say Little Rock public schools and or Little Rock area football, you got to change the definition of that anymore, because Bryant's produced a number of kids, and you know, Walker White from Little Rock Christian, private schools have become more of a factor with PA, and you know, White's the latest example out of Little Rock Christian, mm-hmm. that, you know, he's not going to Arkansas, but he's an SEC level recruit. So it's not just you know, what can Pulaski County public schools necessarily produce. And listen, Coach is right, and he's not the first to say it. We've said it. Arkansas football depends, part of its success depends on getting great in-state recruits out of one of your, you know, your largest population center in your capital city. But when you look at, you know, where some of the great linemen, you know, Sean Andrews is the first one to come to mind. He wasn't Little Rock, it's South Arkansas. It's places like Camden. It's places like El Dorado. It's places like Fordyce that produce some of your good interior talent in this state. But the point is, and he's right, Little Rock as a whole, and I don't think you can just say it's, you know, Little Rock Central and North Little Rock. I know there are different school districts and Parkview, and just go down the roster of those public schools in Pulaski County. You also got to consider the private schools with Christian and PA. You've got to think about Bryant down in Saline County, that metro area, Conway coming back to the west, that, you know, the dynamics have changed.
I think those
kind of got to draw a circle from Cabot over to Greenbrier and Valonia and out to Conway and down to Bryant and back up, and maybe even include Hot Springs in that area.
Here's what I would say on that. So those teams you referenced, Little Rock Christian, Bryant, Conway, and Pulaski Academy, have had great teams, right? Mm-hmm. And they've won championships and have success.
And some of the best coaches in our state in the last 15,
Kevin
20 years.
Kevin Kelly, Buck James, mm-hmm. Anthony Lucas took over there, mm-hmm. and I think is doing a fine job. The issue, I think, is those teams have not necessarily produced the best college. They've produced great high school players, but those college, like Bryant, for example, you lose that defensive end to IMG Academy, forgetting the young man's name. I know Ledbetter's playing football again now, but I don't know if he's ever going to play at Arkansas. Those teams have had great teams, mm-hmm. but not necessarily put out great college football players specifically at Arkansas. I don't know what Walker's, I hope, I mean, again, Walker's a family friend. I hope Walker kills it at Auburn, just not when he plays Arkansas. I have no idea what his future holds. That's another issue on that. I think another thing that is kind of chapping my caps this morning, or however you say it, is the set in stone nature of some fans that just think the season's done, Sam's going to get fired. I'm not going to sit here and tell you definitively on July the 10th, prior to SEC Media Days, 50 days out from the season, that he is 100% going to keep his job. What I have gotten a little irritated by and frustrated by is people that just think there's no way, no chance in hell that he can figure it out this year, that they're just doomed. It's inevitable that they'll have a losing season and things are going by the wayside.
Same people that thought Bobby Petrino walked on water to get here as your OC.
Yes. Yeah. And that is, again,
thoughts don't go together.
And I'll say this, and I want to play this comment from Jimmy and Conway yesterday, because I think this really rings true for a lot of fans listening.
Football is more important. We need it just because we're in this ditch. And if they don't get to a bowl game, I'm with you. It needs to go. I mean, I like Sam, but if you can't do the job, you can't do the job. Doesn't mean I don't like you. This means we need somebody that can do the job, period.
I don't think any of you, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think any of you dislike Sam Pittman as a person. I think you're wondering if he is the guy to lead you into another change within the Southeastern Conference, as of what happened in 92, as of what happened in 2012, and as is what happened 12 years later with Texas and Oklahoma. And they're valid questions to ask. I've just, as we get closer and closer to season, I'm not on the positive side. Like one of my friends who called me yesterday and said they're going to win 10 games. But I'm also on the doom and gloom that they're going to go like 2-10 like the Morris years. Because we got a comment earlier, Tommy, saying that that Sam Pittman, if he gets fired after this season, that it's going to be as bad as it was when Morris got here.
Well,
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that can't happen again. But I would be very, very shocked if it did.
If this team wins 7 or 8 games, the conversation will turn to contract extension and raise and those things in the right context and situation, right? So would you say 7 or 8 wins? Certainly 8, maybe, and I think even 7. There's no conversation about change. If it's 3 or 4 wins, I think there probably is, you know, the decision's made itself. It's what happens if you're at 5 or 6? Show some improvement, team's playing better, lose some close. I mean, you know, but again, we as fans have an opinion. We say what we think should happen. Hunter Yurecek and those above him are going to be the ones that actually make the decision. Some believe, and this, I don't think these opinions are out of bounds, that, hey, if Arkansas had been more in a better financial footing last year coming out of the season, knowing, you know, and I believe Hunter Yurecek and the powers to be knew a change in basketball was likely following the basketball season. I don't think it was a surprise of any nature to Hunter Yurecek in December, what was maybe coming in just a few months. You know, you got to also make your decisions on personnel based on where you're at financially. These contracts have buyouts. They have financial stipulations, and you got to be able to meet those. So, I mean, there's a lot more to it than, hey, you win games or get fired. I know that's ultimately how it works, but the timing of how it works is a little more practical and a little more level-headed.
Yeah,
and Sam knows the equation. He knows he's got to win to stay. I think in his perfect world, in the next 2 or 3 years, he could lead this program back to 9 or 10 wins and then ride off into the sunset as a hero. Get down to Lake Hamilton and high-five everybody that comes by. I think that's the perfect world that he would like to live in. Only he could tell you that, but that's the sense I get. He would love to reestablish this. You don't have to win the conference. If he could get it back on a clearly better footing than where he found it, and I think it already is, just in my opinion, he's got a much better program than what he inherited. Then, you know, he can leave as a hero in a lot of people's estimates because he's very likable. People love Sam Pittman, and everybody wants to see him do well. And I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if this season surprised us all and it was 9 wins somehow or 10. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. I don't think it's his intention, but wouldn't surprise me for him to say, you know what, I'm retiring, I'm going to Lake, and he leaves, you know, leaves the handsome hero. That wouldn't surprise me at all if the scenario played out. Now, that scenario would surprise me, but I think he wants to leave on inarguable good footing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you've got some thoughts on this, you can jump in here at 877-377-6963 as we are, again, 50 days out from Razorback football this season.
All right, what's your Beef Wednesday? Brought to you by Richards Country Meat Market. What's going on the grill tonight? Whatever it is, you'll find only the best at Richards Country Meat Market, from the aroma of steak to the perfectly flavored gourmet burgers, even fresh kebabs on the grill. You'll find it all this summer with all the best stuff to go with it at Richards Country Meat Market, online at richardscountrymeatmarket.com. My brother, for 4th of July, brought a full pan of Richards Country Meat Market potato salad.
Nice.
Unbelievably good.
I know that is a Clay Henry favorite. I got to be honest about this. I've known about Richard since I was in school at the University of Arkansas. Heard Clay talk about it. Heard Bo used to talk about it. Obviously, we're talking about it. I have still not been there. And that is a grave mistake on my part, I guess.
Well, you've got the new home. Do you have a grill for the new home?
Is there a grill? I don't think so.
You would know it. That's a problem right there in and of itself.
I don't think so.
Or do you own a grill? It would be outside. I'm thinking somewhere.
I'm thinking in my head.
Is there a bag of charcoal laying around?
I don't think so. I believe that's that is not.
Big C, I know what we need to get him for a homewarming gift.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to get me a grill? I'll stay in a Blackstone.
Can we expense it?
Blackstone. Yeah, you could.
Not a grill. That's a griddle.
Aren't they the same thing? It's.
Oh, my God.
It's the same thing, right?
It's not the same.
Okay, well, if I'm going to choose, I would take Blackstone because it sucks in all the juices. It doesn't go through the holes or whatever, and it keeps everything.
It would be called a grate.
Okay, the grate, yeah.
And a real man cooks on char. I have a Blackstone. It has its useful purpose, but a man needs a grill. You need charcoal. You need open flame, man.
But the good stuff goes in through the grate.
But the good stuff also comes up, that charcoal flavor. That smoked wood flavor that you might put in there.
I think, Liz, here's how we can expense it. I'll have clients over, and then we can we can do it on that. As you mentioned, what's your beef? I have another beef. I'm reading this piece. Matt Jones, really good job. Not our Matt Jones. Matt Jones, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Whole Hog Sports. I'm reading this piece that he just wrote recently on parking. I know the U of A has a ton of lots. It's like over 100. You got the parking garages.
Some bigger, some smaller.
New numbers, new signage. Apparently you can check out the changes at parking.uark.edu. But I just think about that first game because remember, Little Rock, Stillwater, Fayetteville. There's not going to be like, well, and then you'll go, right. and then you think about
then you go
Auburn, Arlington,
yep.
Tennessee. So there's not like this consistency where you can figure the ends out. And I was thinking that on the schedule last night, I was like, that's going to be a beef. It's not as much of an issue, I would say, for me because I know where I'm going. But I know it's going to be an issue for a lot of you attending games this fall.
And here, you want a beef on What's Your Beef Wednesday? The map that they put on the back of the parking pass is, I mean, you need a telescope
to
read it.
It's so small.
It's so small. Even with young eyes and great reading glasses, it's hard to discern.
Yeah.
So, okay, I get it. There's a limited space. Maybe you put just the map that kind of applies to the local area of where that particular location is, because it is a spread out area amongst the campus where those, what'd you say, 100 lots are, but enclose a larger or QR code or something to get to a version that people with even 20/20 vision can read. Because, man, I look at some of these parking maps on the back of these parking vouchers or tickets or whatever. It's impossible to figure out what that says a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you rely on, hey, well, here's where I've always parked, and this is the same number. But if the numbers are changing and, I don't know, if your location's changing, they need to make it easy to figure out. QR code on the back of the parking pass to get a larger tick or a larger map you can zoom in on.
I will say, and that's kind of what Stoder suggested, take a picture and zoom in. The QR code's
right.
A good
QR
idea.
QR code on the back of the parking pass is what they need, where you can easily access a map.
Yeah. I go into
that's a free one, Hunter. Just go ahead and get that done.
Go in.
I won't even bill you for that idea.
Going to different college football venues these past few years, I have a pretty good understanding of Fayetteville, but when I go to these places and they're not properly marked,
yeah.
Or I have parking, a lot of tenants tell me one thing and it's in another.
Yeah.
It drives me insane. It just drives me up a wall. I want to run over the attendant when they tell me the wrong thing, even though I would never actually do that. Road rage does get the best of us, but I would not actually, intentionally injure someone. But it's one thing to not know where to go at your home place because you still have a good idea. When you're in some area you've never been to, it drives you up a wall.
Or do what we do. We're going to be live at the Stadium Shop next door to Baum Walker. Just go there and park. Pre-game with us. It's an easy walk up to the stadium, or just walk over to the baseball stadium, catch one of the shuttle buses up. So Robert makes it easy.
I know we talk.
You don't have parking passes.
Yeah, I know we talk about the setup of the schedule, but it's just still odd that you don't play a home game till week 3 to me. And I know that, again, this will expire after next season with the Little Rock game. And I don't remember if the A-State game's the first game next season. Might want someone double check me on that, but it's just I look
next year's schedule. You got conference opponents, not dates. You got games, and I'd put some of it in my phone. There is a, I don't know if it's
first. Arkansas football schedule usually has a pretty good.
Well, but they don't have the conference games. I was looking at this last week to put it in my phone for next year because I was actually making some plans for fall of 25, and let me go because some of the games you had dates in was non-conference games, but I do know that Arkansas versus Arkansas State's at War Memorial on September the 6th. So that's the date on that.
Okay.
2025.
Well, that is the setup for next season. Again, that is a beef.
Arkansas versus Missouri State in Fayetteville, August 30th.
Okay, so that will be, thank goodness, they'll have the first game in Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium this next season. This schedule did Sam Pittman no favors. Honestly, next...
Arkansas versus Memphis, September 20th, in case you were wondering.
Next, by the way, next year's worse. Your non-conference games, as Tommy just said, Missouri State, Memphis, Arkansas State, Notre Dame, and...
September 27th.
Yes.
2025.
And then, by the way, go to Knoxville, go to Baton Rouge, go to Oxford, and go to Austin. So, that is awful in terms of a difficulty of next season's strength of
schedule. You know, next year, and hey, let's get to this year first, but you know you will have a conference game on September 13th. My guess is you will open play, and this is only Tommy Kraft's guess, you will open on the road September 13th somewhere in SEC play because you're home, then you got a date there, then you're home. So you have four home games that are non-conference games by the end of September. So you probably want a road game, but that also means you're going to have, you know, a lighter home schedule in October and November as well. Plus, you got your bye dates in there.
Kind of, I guess that's the only byproduct of, or not byproduct, the only good thing about this year's schedule is you do have a thicker home schedule down the stretch.
So down the stretch next year will be
more
road heavy. To say the least.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.